In Isaiah 29, verse number 13 this evening, if we could all stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, and something that is so important to teenagers and to adults, and I think this is something that every human being struggles with at one time or another. Who are you really? Who are you really? I mean, we can have maybe people look at us and they think they know who we really are, but who are we really on the inside? And right here in Isaiah 29 and verse number 13, God is telling through Isaiah the discipline that Israel is going to receive. And why was Israel in trouble with God? Why was Israel going to be judged? Why was Israel going to be chastened? Because of one simple thing. They had a type of religion that was not genuine. And as a Christian, we can have a religion, we can even have a relationship with God that is not genuine. And right here in Isaiah 29, verse number 13, it says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." So tonight, I want us to look inside of ourselves and say, who am I really? Do we have really a genuine relationship with God, a genuine desire for God? We're going to look at those three areas tonight. But first, let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing on this message tonight. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you would use this time in your word, and that it would be an encouragement to the teenagers. And once upon a time, all of us in here were teenagers, and we all struggled with this at times in our life. Maybe even today, as we're an adult, maybe we struggle with this, being genuine from the heart. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless us and help us and guide us in the way. I pray that you would help us as we go through this evening. And we thank you for our young people ministering in your house tonight, that you richly bless them for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Who are you really? And so tonight, we're going to be looking at three areas specifically. And we're going to be applying it to teenagers, also mom and dad. There's some areas that you can help in with this. But also intermixed in here tonight, I am going to be putting in parts of my personal testimony, okay? Once upon a time, I was a teenager. And I'm going to be mixing in some of those things in there, because why this message tonight is an important one, is close to my heart, is because I was one of those teenagers that I looked the part on the outside, but I was not there on the inside. I did not have a genuine heart towards God. Right here, this verse was true of me. I said I loved God, and I said I would serve God, but on the inside, I didn't believe it. I came to find out and realized later on in college I wasn't even saved. But here, there can be a pressure in churches to be a certain thing and to act a certain way, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with having standards, nothing wrong with having expectations of behavior, nothing wrong with dressing the right way. However, are you really that in your heart, or are you just on the outside trying to appear to please everyone else? And so number one tonight, if you're taking notes, who are you really? Number one, you need to be genuine with God. Need to be genuine with God. The trouble that I had when I was a teenager, as I was growing up, I think all teenagers at one time or another, they have rebellion problems. I had some rebellion problems. I had troubles, and you know, I tried to be a good son. I tried to obey my mom and dad, and you know, I wanted to be in church, and I wanted to be that person, because you know what, I found out something, that if I acted the right way and I acted in the way that I was expected, I got praised more. And I was given responsibility, and you know what, I'm one of those people that thrives on responsibility. I wanted to have that responsibility. I wanted to do something that no one else could do. So I found out, hey, if I do this in this way, and if I act right, and I become the model Christian young man in the church, then everyone's going to like me. And you know what, I did that. And you know, I went to church, and I listened to sermons, and I served in the teen group, and I did different things like that. But guess what? I wasn't honest with myself. I thought that I was a good Christian. I thought that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. However, I was doing everything the outward things. I was acting in the outward way. I mean, you could look at me and you wouldn't even know what was going on the inside. You could look at me and you could see my life, and I wore a shirt and a tie and a suit every single Sunday. I dressed right. I mean, I had shine shoes. I was always respectful to adults, never talked back to an adult. I was respectful to my parents at church, but not at home. I did all those things. I mean, I ran the sound room in the back. I mean, I helped with the clean up the baptistry. I mean, I did all kinds of things. I helped hand out bulletins. I mean, any responsibility in the church, man, they asked me. But guess what? I wasn't honest with myself. Really, what was going on the inside, I didn't care one thing about it. All I cared about, what it brought me. And that's something that can very easily fall into as Christians. Is that we go to church and you know what? There's an expectation there. There's a biblical expectation. These should be, amen? Of our relationship with God. And say, well, if I say the right things and I talk the lingo and I dress the right way and I act the right way and we fit into the culture of church, that, hey, I can pass off even though I don't have to change anything on the inside. You know what? I had to come to a day when I had to be honest with myself. Fast forward a number of years. I was in college, and it came down to my end of my time in college, and I carried that on. I mean, I wanted to be recognized in my collegiate. I wanted to be recognized. I went on missions trips, and I went there. You know what? The missions director of that mission, they thought I was something great, and I got to like that. And they thought I was special, and they thought I could do something for God, and I had a special status. I like that. I was proud. And I said, you know, I'm a pretty good person. But I always struggled with whether or not I was really saved or not in my heart. Even though I would pray and I prayed, and I tell people I prayed 100 times, 1,000 times. But you know what? I always prayed about those sins that I knew would send me to hell, but I thought there were things I did that wouldn't send me to hell. I was a pretty good person. There's a couple things I needed to be saved from, but not all of it. And so I went through time, and then it came down to the end of my time in college. I mean, I had the expectation. I was in the ministerial class. I was preaching. I mean, people looked up to me. I was a floor leader and all of these things. I like that status, but you know what? It came to the end of my time in college. There came to an end of my time in a controlled environment. I'd been in an authority structure at home, and I couldn't go and do whatever I wanted. I listened to my mom and dad. Then I was in college. I was once again in an authority structure where I couldn't go do whatever I wanted. There were rules. But now was coming to the time at the end of college that I was about to go out, and people thought, you know, I was a missions major. I was going to go out and be a missionary. I was going to go out and serve God. I was going to be somewhere. I was going to be somebody for God. I was going to go do something. But you know what? On the inside, I'd done all the outward things, but my heart was never in it. And then I got to the end of my time in college. And then what was in the heart began to come out. Because guess what? I didn't have to conform anymore. I didn't have to listen anymore. You know how the stories about people that they grow up in church, they turn 18, they disappear out of church? How many heard about that? I was on that road. That was me. I was coming to the end of my time in college, and I had found a girl that loved me, and I loved her. And she was beautiful, and she was godly, exactly what I had looked for. See, on the flip side of things, that I desired at sometimes what God wanted, but most of the time I didn't. And I came to that time in college, and you know what? Some of these thoughts, like, why do I even want to bother with church anymore? Why bother with the Bible? Why bother with serving God at all? I can go make a lot of money. Why bother with any of this? Most of you have never even heard this part of it. And I came to my, you know what, when I'm done with college, I probably won't even go to church anymore. But on the inside, in my head, all that I've been taught, that's wrong. So there's something wrong with me. But my heart is saying, yes, that's what I want to do. Throw off all of these rules and the Bible and standards and go listen to my rock music and go do whatever I wanted to do. Then, and this was a struggle on the inside. My mind was saying no, but my heart and my desires were yes. And I was struggling with it. And one day, a young lady by the name of Bethany Harvey, And she saw the struggling, and she said, "What's going on?" And then one day it just came all pouring out of my heart what was in there. I told her all these things. And, you know, I said, "What's wrong with me?" You know, and I was just like, because there was a problem there. And she looked at me squarely, never forget this, pointed a finger and said, "You need to get saved. You're not saved." And she proceeded to say, "A saved person would never say what you are saying." I was offended. You know why? But at the same time, I know why she was right. I was offended. You know why? Hey, I had done all of this. I had gone and I had done all of this, and man, I was somebody. But that began to grate on me. And then I went to preaching class the next day, a couple days later. I was on a Saturday. I think it was Wednesday the next week. And in that meantime, I couldn't eat and sleep, and I was a mess, and it was bothering me. And I was just trying to get it put away for good. But then I was in preaching class, and my friend, he was up there, and I was in class, and it seemed like he was preaching right at me. Salvation message. I'll never forget the words that he preached, and he said, and he put his finger and pointed right at me. I was sitting behind the camera. He's preaching to the camera, but I'm sitting behind the camera. He goes, "All of us, it's Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He said, "All we are is dirty, rotten sinners, everybody." And when he said everybody, I said, "That's me." But I didn't think of myself that way. I didn't want to think of myself that way. I didn't want to be honest with myself. But you know what? I went back to my room that night. I didn't go to dinner. I went back to my room. And I was floor leader. I had bed check that night. I had to stay and watch those that were sick so they didn't get into trouble during the church service. And I was there, and I was pacing those halls, and I knew in my mind, I knew what I needed to do. I know I needed to be saved. I know I needed to call upon Jesus Christ to save me. I knew what I needed to do. But you know, and I fought because I wouldn't be honest with myself. I wouldn't be honest that I was a sinner. I wouldn't be honest that I needed to be saved. I wouldn't be honest, well, what about all this? And then I decided, I'll never forget, I was on the fourth floor. I was lived in the third floor, room 3319, Coberly dorm. Never forget, and I was on the fourth floor. And I was thinking, man, I didn't want to be honest with myself. What are people going to think? The devil's throwing all kinds of things. And by the way, the devil will deceive you not to be honest with yourself. Amen. He's going to tell all kinds of lies about yourself and say, "Oh, you're fine, you're fine." Guess what? When you're thinking in your flesh, you're fine, you're not. Fourth floor. And all these things. And then I was halfway through the hall. And I decided to be honest with myself. And I said, my view of myself, what people think of me, is not worth going to hell over. And I went down to my room, and for the first time in my life, I was honest with myself, and I was honest with God about myself and my sin. And if you've never knelt down and been honest with God about your sin and how you need Him and how you need to trust Him for salvation, you need to do it tonight. I was never honest with God. I was never honest or genuine with God, and that was the first time in my life I really was. And you know what? When I got up from that and I wept and I cried and I let my heart out there, no one was there. I was all by myself. But then when I got up there, when I stopped praying, I'll never forget, I opened my eyes, and the joy and the peace that passeth all understanding, all the burden of sin, all the burn, all the turmoil, was all gone. And it's been gone ever since. Teenager, are you honest with God tonight? "Well, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. It's great. I'm wonderful. I'm thankful that you are. But can we be honest about something? Have you been honest with God about your sin? Have you been honest with God about maybe some things you've done against your parents? Have you been honest with God about maybe some things you've done your parents know nothing about? Just remember something, God knows. God sees all, God knows all, and He will open the books and He will judge us out of those things that He knows. And He knows all things. Be honest with God. Be honest with Him. Be genuine with Him. You know what we do sometimes? We're going to get to this in a minute. You know what we do sometimes? That we act one way here at church, and then Monday morning we're something different. You know what? And you come to church and you put on a show, and some people put on a show for God because they don't want to be honest with God. And you know what? And they sing here, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty," and then they go dirty up their mind with some pornography Sunday night. I'm just being real honest with everybody here. We need to be honest with God. And we say, you know, we're so thankful that we're saved. We're so thankful. And we sing hymns as, "I'm so thankful. I'm on my way to heaven." And then you don't tell a single soul how to get there. We need to be honest and genuine with God. By the way, we need to be an honest and genuine person in general. Who you are Sunday is who you are Monday. And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 24/7, 365. It shouldn't change. Amen. Oh, it shouldn't change when someone else is around. I mean, there's some people, they're sweet as apple pie. "Oh, they're so pastor, I love you," and everything like that. Turn your back, and then they stab you in it. Amen. I guess we all, by the way, we all can do that. We all can do that. Oh, we can have such sweet attitudes towards certain people, and then we have nasty attitudes towards other people. Guess what? We should treat everybody the same. God is not a respecter of persons, neither should we. And we need to be careful that we just are a chameleon Christian. We can become different things for different people, depending who we're around. So number one, we need to be honest with God. Number two, we need to be honest with ourselves. Honest with ourselves. Because, by the way, if you're honest with God, sometimes people are honest with God, but sometimes people aren't honest with themselves. And this can take a couple different forms. One of them being people aren't honest with themselves that God really forgives. That God really does forgive sin. You know, sometimes they ask God for forgiveness, but they won't forgive themselves for what happened. I don't say forgive themselves, they won't let it go. So, "Well, I'm useless to God now." By the way, that's the devil saying that. "I'm useless to God. God can't use me. I'm done. I'm over. I've sinned too many times. God wouldn't want to use me." Guess what? You haven't sinned any more than anybody else. And what you need to understand is when God forgives, we need to have some faith and be honest and let it go and say, "God forgave me. I need to let it be what it is." Do you know that people can be bitter at themselves? You know that? That they're angry with themselves because of a mistake they made, and that now God can't use me, and they're angry and bitter at themselves, and all the joy goes out of their life. Oh, we need to let God forgive. Amen? Forgiveness is such a wonderful thing, especially the forgiveness of God. I love what Brother Schrock brought out this morning, how much we have in Christ, the portion of forgiveness, the portion of eternal life. And number three, so first, you need to be genuine with God, honest with God. Number two, be honest with yourself. Number three, we need to be honest with each other. We need to be honest. And you know, I said, "Well, pastor, what do you mean? I mean, we know we're not supposed to lie." I understand that. We're not supposed to lie. Absolutely. We're not supposed to lie to one another, but we can lie to someone by how we live. By how we live. So, well, what do you mean? Well, I mentioned a minute ago about how people are one way Sunday, then they're somebody else Monday. Right? But how they live, how they act, what they do, clothes they wear. They're different, something different on Sunday than they are Monday. Now, I understand you wear a suit on Sunday, you wear nice clothes on Sunday, then on Monday you wear jeans or whatever you go to work, and I'm not talking about that. I mean that you come in on Sunday and you're dressed right and you're doing right, but guess what? On Monday out come the trendy clothes, the immodest clothes, the clothes that advertise, "Hey, I'm on the world side of things." You know what you did on Sunday? You lied. You came trying to present yourself as something you're not. We should come on Sunday and present ourselves as what we are in Christ and what we are as a Christian. And teenagers, I'm being honest with you, there's going to be a lot of pressure to be somebody you're not. There's going to be a lot of pressure. Even in churches, there's pressure to be something you're not. In that, there's going to be some pressure to be not as dedicated as maybe other people think you should be. By the way, when someone's dedicated to Christ and dedicated to serving God, guess what? They're going to run into some opposition. You know, what's going to happen? People aren't as dedicated. They're going to tell them they don't need to be as dedicated. Amen? That's what's going to happen. That happened to me. And I got dedicated to God and doing that. Why do you have to be doing all that for God? Why do you have to be so, you know, so dedicated? Well, isn't that what Christ wants us to be? Isn't it our reasonable service to serve God? Oh, this is going to come from family members. This is going to come from people close to you. It might even come from your own mom and dad or come from a sibling. It'll come from someone close to you. Well, why are you so dedicated to God anyway? You know, you can get by with doing less. Oh, no. We need to be honest. I will not deny my Lord. I am dedicated to Him 100%. And when that pressure comes, you have a decision to make. Are you really dedicated to God or are you dedicated to other people? Are you dedicated to what other people think? That's what I did for a very long time. I was dedicated to what people thought of me. And if I didn't do what they wanted me to do, then I felt bad. And I felt the pressure. It's called peer pressure. Right? We hear about that. And that happens even with adults. It's like, you know what? If I step out and do this, it's going to cause this and this. It's going to cost something. It'll maybe cost something at work. It'll cost something in your family. It'll cost you something. By the way, it shouldn't cost you something in the house of God. Amen? If someone's more dedicated, we just say, praise God, I need to be more dedicated than that. I need to be more dedicated. Instead of being convicted, how about you get it right? And say, praise God. And that's the exciting thing with young people, especially our teenagers. Guess what? When one of you gets on fire and starts leading, the other ones. So, yeah, I need to be that way too. And they get encouraged. It's called iron sharpeneth iron, right? So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. But you know what? We have to be honest, and you're going to encounter some opposition. Look over at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Right here, the Apostle Peter. They're right here. And they were preaching. This is just after Pentecost. I mean, the church was going. Things were going wonderful. People were blessing. And teenagers, when you get serving God, things are going to be great. There's going to be blessing. But guess what? The devil is right around the corner. He's waiting for you. And guess what? The devil is waiting for these men. And here comes the first persecution. They performed a miracle in the temple in chapter 3. They healed a man in the middle of the temple. Well, the Jews didn't like that very much. They didn't like someone healing in the name of Jesus, who they had just crucified and he had raised from the dead. They had enough problem with the people advertising that around, that Jesus rose from the dead and that Jesus, and then they had heard about Pentecost and all these people. I mean, this was known. And guess what? They did not need some follower of Jesus going and upsetting the apple cart in the middle of the temple. That's what they did. And in the name of Jesus and the power of God, it wasn't them, it wasn't their power, it was the power of God healed this man. Now in verse number 1 of chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now remember, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, so they were mad. They were teaching a doctrine that was contrary to theirs, but it's true, God's doctrine's always right, man's is wrong. And so what happened is that they addressed the Sanhedrin, and they were upset. They put him before the Sanhedrin was the religious body. It was a court. And to see how they were going to be punished. And you know what? They could have bowed down and said, you know what? Maybe this isn't worth all this. Because they were about to be beaten. If they were going to give, they're about to be beaten with rods or whipped for promoting heresy in their eyes. But you know what? They were so convinced. They were genuine. They were who they were. Did they make mistakes? Oh, yes. Were they human? Yes. But guess what? They were who they were. They weren't going to change for anybody. They were God's servants, and they weren't going to change for anybody. Young people, be God's servants. Don't change for anybody. And right here, you know what they said in response? Well, they asked a question first. And it came on the verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So all the big guys there. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all. Okay, here it is. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Shh, Peter, don't say that. Don't you know this is a dangerous situation? Don't you know you're about to be beaten? Just say, okay, I'm sorry. I'll try not to do it again, right? Oh, isn't that what we do? Oh, someone's offended at the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm so sorry you're offended. Right? Oh, isn't that what we feel like we need to do in our culture? Oh, well, you're one of those Christians. And you know, we say, you know, we feel like we have to apologize. We feel like we're about this tall. Oh, sorry, I'm an offense. They're an offense to God. They're rebellious against God. And say, oh, so you're one of those Christians. Oh, yes, I am, and God loves you. Sometimes people don't know what to do with that. But that's the first time everyone ever said, guess what? It's time to be honest. And guess what? If Peter was an average Christian today, he would have said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I offended you. I'll never do it again. I'll never hand out a gospel tract. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? I won't go against the grain again. But guess what? He was who he was. He was convinced of some things. He was convinced that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He was convinced that he had been saved by Jesus Christ. He was convinced that he who he had walked through Galilee with was crucified. He saw him there, and he saw him raised from the dead. And he knew it all. He had faith, and he was not going to deny his Lord, because guess what? He had already done it. Remember, Peter had already denied Christ. He wasn't about to do it again. Peter had already been that compromising Christian. Actually, he wasn't saved yet. He says, after thou art converted, Jesus said. Some people disagree on that. I believe when he wept bitterly, he got saved. That's what I believe. But he denied Jesus three times. And he cursed the one time. I don't know him. I'm not a Christian. I don't know about this Jesus. How many of us here today, that someone has asked you, are you a Christian? Do you go to church? And we lie and say, no, I don't. Or we said, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And we think, oh, it's controversial. Well, you know, yeah, I believe that Jesus is the way to heaven. But, you know, different people have different beliefs. Is it true or is it not? Is it God's word or isn't it? And you know what, Peter, he said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. We need some spirit-filled young people and some teenagers. Some young adults and some adults that are going to stand up and say, there's no other name. No other name given among men. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Young people, don't sell out the Lord Jesus Christ. When the going gets tough, you're going to have to be honest with people. And you know what? You're going to have to be honest in your lifestyle. You're going to be honest with what you say. And you know what? So many times we say that we love people. Oh, yes, I love people. I love people. I care so much about them, and I want to see them saved, but we complain how much time it takes. And we won't take time to soul win. We won't take time to hand out a tract. We're too busy. We're too doing this, too much of that. Well, I say I love people, but you know what? I have other things to do. If you love someone that much to give of your time and of yourself to show them how to get to heaven, because guess what? Someone loved you that much to show you how to be saved. Amen? You know what? Now, I want to ask a question here tonight. How many of you were saved, adults included, raise your hand, how many of you were saved in Sunday school? How many were saved in Sunday school? Anybody like that? Anybody saved in Sunday school? Okay, you put your hand out. How many of you were saved maybe during a children's church program when you were a young person? Anybody like that? Now, how many of you were saved when someone knocked on your door and led you to Christ? How many of you were saved that way? Anybody like that? Okay. How many of you were saved coming to church? You came to church. Amen. Praise God. So you were saved in church. All right, praise God. Now, how many of you were saved after a service? You heard the word of God, but someone took some time and took the Bible and showed you how to be saved. How many were saved that way? Amen. Praise God. Put your hands down. Aren't you glad that that person took some time to show you how to be saved? Aren't you glad that someone took their time on a Sunday or a Wednesday or it doesn't matter, whatever service, and they cared so much about you that they wanted you to be saved and took the word of God? They took time to memorize verses. They took time in studying their Bible. They took time in sitting and being trained by their pastor or in their church, and they learned how to lead someone to Christ, and they sacrificed their time. And you know what? They took that time, and they showed you every verse and made sure you understood every verse, and they took you step by step by step by step. Because they loved you. Aren't you thankful? Because you wouldn't be here otherwise. Young people, that's all I can encourage you to do is just be genuine. Be honest with God about yourself. That brings back to point number one. When God says you have a problem, be honest with God about your problem. God says you have a weak area here. We need to be honest about it. We need to be willing to admit, hey, I'm not perfect, and I need to grow. I need to learn. I don't have it all figured out. You know what was my problem at 18 years old? I had life figured out. At home I did, but guess what? When I got to college, I found out I didn't have life figured out at all. And we have to be careful that we just say, well, I've got it all figured out. No, we need to depend on the Lord. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others. Mom and Dad, you need to do the same. You need to be honest with God about things that go on in your home. No, my home is good, but you know there's sin there. You know there's problems there. Guess what? You need to get on your face. Guess what? Nehemiah was honest with God about the sins of Israel. Guess what? Daniel was honest with God about the sins of Israel. Elijah was honest about the sins of Israel. They were honest. And guess what? God heard them because they were honest. How many prayers have God not heard in our homes as mom and dad because we aren't willing to be honest with God about our homes? We're not willing to be honest with God about the problems our children have. We're not willing to be honest with God. Oh, my kids don't have a problem. Oh, yes, they do. Every single child has a problem. Amen? I don't care how perfect you think your child is. Guess what? My children are not perfect. Amen? Every young person, every child, every adult has a problem. Let's be honest about it. Because guess what? We all have this. We have flesh. We are sinful flesh. We ask, can we be filled by the Spirit? We ought to walk in the Spirit. Yes, but we have to be honest with God. And you know what happens in so many Christian homes? We're not willing to be honest. I was talking to a missionary. Just broke my heart. And I said, you know, talking about this, and by the way, I've been told this by lots of people, especially in college. I was told by lots of people this. So you know what? You know, my mom and dad, they try to do what's right, but you know how many Christian homes this is repeated? that, oh yeah, you know, my parents love God, and my dad was head deacon in the church, or my dad was faithful in the bus route or whatever. But one day I found his dirty magazines. Found his pornography. I found the whiskey bottle. And you know what? A lot of those young people, they end up leaving church. You know why? Because mom and dad weren't honest. Maybe it was dad who wasn't honest. Maybe it was mom. It doesn't matter. And you know what? And you sit there and you maybe hear the preaching, and you say you hear on something, a particular sin, maybe it's anger or maybe it's something else, and then they hear you say amen, and your kids look at you and say, why are you saying amen for? I said, you're the one that almost beat me to a pulp this week with your anger. As you told me I was a worthless piece of garbage because of your anger. And you're saying, amen, that's right, brother, amen. How about you be honest with God and get it right? Maybe you hear the pastor preach on holiness and purity. He said, that's right. Guess what? Your kids saw your web browser. Let's be honest. And that's the only way our young people are going to make it, is if mom and dad are honest. Mom and dad, if you're not honest with God, if you're not honest with yourself, by the way, if you're not honest with your kids, you know what breaks up homes in America? What causes division between parents and children? Number one thing, pride. Parents unwilling to say two words to their kids. I'm sorry. Those two words. Well, I'm the head of the home. We're the parents. We're the authorities. We don't have to say sorry. That's not what the Bible says. If you've done wrong, I'm sorry. And two more words, three more words. Will you forgive? Sorry, four words. Will you forgive me? We have failed you as mom and dad. I'll tell you something. You say, well, won't my kids rebel if I do that? No, guess what? They're going to start listening to you. Because you're willing to be honest. They know you're a sinful human being. You know you're a sinful human being. But when you sit there and you justify and try to claim that you're not, that you're perfect and that you're always right, you never make a mistake. Oh, we're setting ourselves up for some major problems. Even in God's house, you need to be honest. We all make mistakes. I think we all, with young people, adults, everyone, you know what's also? We can have a little grace and some mercy and some love. That'll go a long way in every relationship we have. So young people, maybe there's something deep down inside, a secret. Let me tell you something. If there's a secret sin lurking deep down inside and your mom and dad don't know about it, and we say, God doesn't know about it. Well, God already knows about it. And maybe he's been speaking to you. I'll tell you what, there was a young lady in college that I knew, and she had been involved with some things that she shouldn't have been involved in and got into some sin. But her parents didn't know, or she was a pastor's daughter. Parents didn't know, and she told me about it. I was the first person she had ever told about it. And I said, well, do your mom and dad know? She's like, no, I can never tell my parents. I can never tell them. They would hate me, and they'd throw me out and everything like that. I said, no, they wouldn't. They're your mom and dad. Because I'd met her parents, and their parents were very nice people, godly people. I said, no, you need to tell them. And she was so eaten up with shame and regret and everything, and it was just eating her alive. And I just told her, the only way that you will be free from that is if you are honest. And just tell them. Later on, several months later, she saw me. We're going to college together, and she said, just wanted to thank you for what you told me. Because over Christmas break, I told my mom and my dad. It's the best decision I ever made. I was honest, and they forgave me, and they just loved me and cared about me and forgave me. And everything, I'm so much better now. Young people, your parents love you. Amen. Amen, mom and dad. You love your kids. Man, you just let them be honest with your parents. Just be honest. There are a lot of secret sins going on in churches today. A lot of secret sin. You just need to be honest about it. God can't heal. God can't restore until you're honest. Maybe, mom and dad, you've got some sin going on in your homes. And maybe sin going on in your life. I don't know. Have no idea. But God knows. Maybe you need to be honest with God yourself. Now, if it's something that your kids don't know about and it's a sin in your heart and life, do you need to sit down and confess it to them? I don't think you need to do that. But if it's something your kids do know about and things you've done in front of them, maybe it's your anger, your temper, maybe it's something you allow in your home that shouldn't be there, whatever it is, maybe you just need to be honest and just say, I shouldn't have done that. I made a bad decision, and we're getting this out of our home, and we're not going to be like this anymore, and we're going to follow God, and we're going to love God. Guess what? That's how you turn out kids for God, being honest. So tonight, what kind of Christian are we? Maybe you're sitting here today, in your description, this is you. This people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. They don't really love God. Maybe you're here and said, yes, Pastor, I'm saying amen, and I'm agreeing with you, but my heart's not there. Then why don't you get your heart where it needs to be tonight? God can do that. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you need to get sin out. Maybe you just need to be honest with yourself. So tonight, will we be honest with God? Will we be honest with ourselves? Will we be honest with others? Get out a fourth point on there. Will we be honest with our parents? Be honest with our authorities. Be honest. Tell the truth. That who you are on Sunday is who you are on Monday. And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and every day. We understand there's ups and downs. We understand there's mistakes you make. But guess what? Are you the type of person that people can say, you know what, I know that person. What you see is what you get. A lot of people, you talk to them, and you see them. They act three different ways around three different types of people. They'll act three different ways, four or five different ways. You're like, who are they really? It's a good question. I remember talking to somebody and in college, and you know what? They were just friends of everybody. You know, there's some people like that. They're just friends of everybody. And you know, when they were with us, they were more the conservative crowd, that they would talk the lingo and say different things. And then they would go with the more trendy crowd, the popular people. And they talk their lingo. And they go over here to this crowd. They go to this one guy. He would go around all these different groups and try to be friends with everybody. But he could change how he acted, what he said, and his vocabulary to, like, blend in. Call him a chameleon. By the way, anybody that's a chameleon Christian, don't trust him. You know why? Because you don't really know who they are. And by the way, if someone feels like they have to hide and they have to change for everybody else around them, their desire is not to God. I'll tell you that much. Their desire is for themselves. And if our desire is to God, no matter what happens around us, and our loyalty is to Christ, our loyalty is to the Bible, no matter what happens around us, it's not going to change anything. No matter what people say around us, it's not going to change anything. You're going to encounter some adversity. Peter and John, they encountered some adversity. Guess what? They said, we're not going to back down. Jesus is the only way. Guess what? They did not know what to do with him. They let him go. They threatened him. They let him go. And guess what? A couple chapters later, guess who's back in prison? Peter. But you know what? Because he wouldn't back down, because he did that which is right, God sent an angel from heaven to let him out of prison because he did that which is right. Who are you going to be? Going to be genuine, that loves God, is going to be real, or are you going to be a counterfeit? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise you, Lord, we thank you. I praise you, bless our invitation time tonight. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in lives. And Lord, so much in this area of honesty, being honest with ourselves, honest with you, honest with other people. Instead of hiding, instead of changing, instead of blending, instead of trying to say what people want to hear, that we would speak the words that are only pleasing. The only people we care, person we care about, the only one who we care who hears our words is you, that they be pleasing in your sight. And it doesn't matter what other people hear. I praise you, dear Lord, for all here tonight that are dedicated, that are genuine, that are honest, that they are servants of you. Many in here tonight, but maybe some, maybe one, is here and said, if only Pastor knew what was on the inside. If only people knew, they wouldn't think of what they think of me, then why don't you be honest? Lord, I pray that they would be honest with you tonight. I pray that they would come and be honest with themselves and repent of their sin. And Lord, you will restore. We're so thankful for the restoration and forgiveness that you give. I pray that you would help our young people tonight to make a decision for you. I pray that you bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, as we rise to our feet tonight, are you willing to be honest with yourself, with God? Is he, you know what, I'm done with the charade, I'm done with that. Maybe someone here tonight, you need to be honest about your salvation. You know you're not saved, but you haven't been willing to be honest about it. You just know you're not. I'm not saying that the devil hasn't thrown doubts at us. He's thrown it at all of us. But I'm sitting here tonight that you know you're not saved. You're being honest with yourself. As a pastor, I am not saved. Exactly what you described. I'm just a people pleaser. I've been trying to please my mom and dad. I've been trying to please the pastor. I've been trying to please everybody else. But guess what? I'm not pleasing to God because I'm not for real. I know I need to be saved tonight. I'm through. I'm just being honest. I know I need to be saved tonight. Is there anyone like you that tonight? Doesn't matter how young or old you are. I'm being honest. I'm not saved. Anybody like that tonight? Just slip your hand up. Be honest. Life is too short to be honest. So many people have gone to hell because they don't want to be honest. I'm not on my way to heaven. Is there anybody like that tonight? Just slip your hand up. I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Anybody like that at all tonight? Anybody at all? Now, for those who are saved tonight, are you being honest about your sin? Are you being honest about things that are secret that no one knows? God knows. Maybe there's some things you need to confess to God tonight, but maybe later tonight there's some things you need to confess to your mom and dad. Maybe there's some things you need to confess to your wife. Maybe there's some things you need to confess to your husband. And maybe there's some things you need to confess to your own children. Whatever the case may be, let the Lord speak to you tonight.